بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم had commenced his mission and there were mixed responses. There were those that accepted straight away that to hear the message from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was enough. Already convinced about the man, they understand his background, agreed with all his values. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to just explain it and there was immediate acceptance. Then there was the second group that came on, but came on with some time. Month, maybe a year or something, and they had to see that, understand it well. You find Umar radiallahu anhu, not in the first, not immediately, but after he saw it properly, then he accepted it. So this is the second level. Then you get a third level, and this third level has got no intention to accept. Sometimes they will behave as though they're interested. Sometimes they'll make a mockery. Sometimes they take it as a pastime. So this third group is a little bit dangerous. The Yahud had heard about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Meccans had also heard about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Meccans had sent a delegation to Medina Munawwara, to the Jews, investigating the credentials of the personality. This man here, he's come up with a message. We are an illiterate class. نحن أمة أمية, illiterate, we're not learned. And you are the people of the books, so you have got understanding, you have got that knowledge. Now this man has come up, we need to verify, we need to confirm, we need to ascertain. So in this ascertaining, there are some that really are genuine, they want to know. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, a Jewish rabbi, leading rabbi amongst the best, Banu Qaynuqa. So he had heard about Islam when he was plucking the fruit in his garden. And he heard about Islam, so he left everything and came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, I want to know some things from you. If you answer my questions, I will accept Islam immediately. So the first thing I want to know is that how does it happen that a child resembles the father sometimes, and sometimes he resembles the mother? So this is the first question I want to know. So Nabi Salam explained to him, Jibreel Islam had just now inspired my heart, so I'm answering you. So he says, as the water of the father, as it is lodged, right? And if it goes ahead of the water of the mother, see, both are getting in, and they're getting lodged into a place. So if the father's water, if that thing goes ahead, then the child will resemble the father. But if it is the mother's water that goes ahead, then the child resembles the mother. So 100% I understand that. So the second thing I want to know is, what will be the first food that will be served to the Jannatis? What will be the first meal that will be served to the Jannatis? Zaidu, Zaidatu Kabidil Hut. It's a portion from the liver of a fish. That will be the first food that will be served to the Jannatis. Now he's convinced, he's got his answers. So then he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you see, Yahud, qawmun buhutun. They make allegations, false allegations. That's in their blood from that time till the rooters and the jooters. Right? So it's in their blood. To change them is going to be difficult. And how craftily they do it, you can't catch them out. They do it and they do it. It's a lot of craft. They're like specialized in this field. How to manipulate, how to fabricate news, etc. You know, there was one lecturer came here last week. So I got some acquaintance with him for the last 15 years. He comes here now and then. Some sly things he'll ask and he'll go away. So I asked him, what are you doing now? I said, I'm writing a book. What book are you writing? I'm writing against atheism. Oh, mashallah, I'd like to know what information you have come up with thus far. So he says, I'm writing against evolution. I'm writing against atheism. So what topics you have touched on? He says, I started off with the dinosaurs. It made me a little bit interested because this is a topic that people generally talk about. In the Dawlifta also they ask the same questions, dinosaurs, right? So he says that I had to touch this topic because they talk of this topic at every level. At a primary level, at a secondary level, at a university level. They talk about it so much that it's almost reached the proportion of conviction. They convince about dinosaurs. So then I checked the whole thing up now. I had to research, so much research, go to the original now. When I went to the original, they say there's no essence in it, no substance in it at all. So they did something like a fossil, whatever, put this thing and mixed up this with that, whatever they had to put. So they had to create a story to convince people about the theory of evolution and atheism. So, you know, it's like in Arabic they say, Ta'lil ba'd al-wuku. You already got the goal now, right? You already got your goals, you know, you've made an objective, you've made a goal, right? Now you have to prove it. Like you killed the person, now prove your honesty that, you know, you killed for the right cause. So you do the damage now. Now you just look for it now. So it's also chores. Pick up information from here, there, justify. And the idea is to mislead. So he says, they can't give a single specimen of proof that this thing is existing. No dinosaurs, no stories at all. Now this lecturer is telling me, I'm doing this. But from all the research that I've done, you know, this book and that site, whatever else, everything, they can't prove it. So they had to make this, they had to fabricate this just to convince the mind. Now imagine now how many people's minds have already been corrupted. They start off on Big Bang and they bang the people's minds. Right? So everything was a lie, it's a farce. But they give it in a very educational and academic language. When they give it in that language, then if you speak out against it, then it seems like you're a fool. You don't even know about this. You know, what's happening to you? So, see how they present that thing. So that lie is presented in an academic and an educational language. See, I studied the whole thing. It took me a couple of good months, but I made sure I studied the thing. When I studied this thing, I understood that they got no evidence for this whatsoever. So then what's the reason? So no, they had to prove that what we're doing, we're talking about evolution, we're talking of atheism, this is the truth. There's no two ways about it. So they had to do this. So they had to create a substantiating story to substantiate this, to justify this. But now see from what? See that the lie has got no end. So you get one group that want to market their falsehood, but they need some system to market that falsehood of this. How to market it, right? One way, a second way, but the idea is to market that falsehood. The idea is to throw people away from iman into the path of disbelief. So how they market it, and to what levels they market it, that means what influence they've got. They've got influence on the media, they've got influence on the schools, they've got influence on the universities. It makes you wonder now, who's controlling universities and schools? Who's controlling? We think, in our simplicity, that this child or this person is going to this place here and is educated. But little do we realize that his mind is getting corroded, not educated, it's getting corroded with all the junk that is being fed to him. So his mind is getting corroded. He moved off, he jumped off from iman, the wagon of iman, into disbelief, and he's lost. Class, now he'll go in a circle. Because he subscribed to this. This thing is presented to him in an educational language, right? So he's presented to him by a lecturer, by a professor in an educational language, that he latches to it, and then he's going into a circle. He can't come out of the circle. But you see, what a big fuss. So you get one guru that is not looking for the truth. They got their own objectives, so their research is subjective, not objective. So Abdullah bin Salam says, see my people, the Jews, right, Qawmun Buhutun. The whole business is about slandering. They could label Isa alayhi salam. They wouldn't spare his mother. They would distort the book of Allah Ta'ala. So what chances you've got? No chances. A person like Isa alayhi salam, a Nabi, and they could frame him. They could frame his mother. They could distort the whole religion. So do you stand any chance? You don't stand a chance. They went to every level to distort, to destroy. They went to every level. So there's no chance of them sparing the truth. So Ya Rasulullah, this is my people. I know them. Lived with them, born up with them, came up with them. So all I want you to do is, before I announce my Islam, then ask them about me. Inquire my about my credentials from my own people before I announce my Islam. So you will know my people, and you'll know how they just change. You know, in a second they can just change. So anyway, maybe some call for these people. They came in. Abdullah bin Salam, how's he? So he's the best amongst us. Lineage, best. Learned education, best. Righteous and virtue, the best. Now, when everything is confirmed, Abdullah bin Salam comes out and says, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Immediately, he's the worst, son of the worst, most jahil. But you see the level, ruthlessness, you see that, this is that. So if they didn't spare the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, will they spare this university, schools, colleges? Can they spare that? They won't spare it. No matter what they say, but the idea is to throw you off. If they're going to be roasting in Jahannam, then they follow the same shaitanic mentality, that he doesn't want to be there all isolated. He wants some company. So they also want that same company. So you get this second group, or this third group, that is just looking for vice, it's evil, right? But that vice is, it's so discreet that you can't make it out. You can't see within them. It's so cunning. That is why the Quran said it straight. I don't take them as friends. لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Don't take them your friends as your friends. So they'll present things. And the way they'll present it, it's very difficult for the normal person to be able to see within them. So I was explaining some youngsters. They spoke about education. And I remember when we started schooling, just around that time there was some segregation. So in grade 1, grade 2, that time was class 1, class 2. So they segregate, put the boys on one side, put the girls on the other side. And as I started moving up now, all this foreign ideology starts coming in. So I mix them up. Boy, girl, right? But just before that, there was segregation, right? And the strange part is, their own statistics show that when that education was segregated, was not mixed up, the learners, the performance was far better. It was far greater. They were getting numbers like they never get before. It was separated. I understand what's the reason, because I was in school also. I mean, the education, I understand now why the levels were far better. The levels were far better because now the child is coming to class, he's coming to learn. But in a co-ed system, he's coming to impress. So there's going to be a girl there, so I must come with my bicycle to school with all the finishes, right? I must wear, if I'm wearing a kurta or a shirt, I must wear this type of a thing, right? And my hairstyle must be like this. Right? I must improve my hairstyle every now and then because there's a girl there. Or the teacher is a girl. So when there's a girl teacher, and I need to impress, so what must I do? I must dress up nicely, come in a car, or come in a bicycle, somehow talk in a very American style, right? So all these things I must do just to draw the person. Now the child is coming to the school, is he coming to learn or is he coming to impress? So is his attention, is his focus there? His focus is somewhere else. He's not a learner. You are wasting his time and he's wasting his time. Both are wasting the time. So it's you are calling them under false pretenses, false pretext. What are you calling them for education? Yeah? It's not for education, it's under false pretext that you're calling them. That means your money cannot be halal. Then it's earned in the wrong way, it will go in the wrong way. There'll be destruction, there'll be ruin, there won't be good coming in. So I asked, I went and studied the whole thing up, that this co-ed system, is it the right thing? What is the advantages, what is the disadvantages, and how does it work? I remember, you know, when I came from India, the Bakrid style was different. Bakrid was now, first we'll have breakfast, one family house, chicken, whatever. Bakrid, I was having chicken, starting up with chicken. Then after about 10 o'clock, then you're starting off. Hey, this child, you know, I need to break away, right? For the right reasons, if you move away, it's not breaking. Although you may say breaking, for the right reasons, if you move away, then it's not breaking. So I just told all the elders that, you all carry on, I'm going to start it off. Probably like about 4 years, they got the taste of it, and they also did the same thing. Because it's a different feeling when you are the Dhaifur Rahman, the guest of Allah Ta'ala, you're starting off with the hospitality that is provided from Allah Ta'ala, then the maza and the enjoyment is totally different. But anyway, I started the qurbani. Now, family people had already arranged for the workers. So when they arranged for the workers now I see that the men and the women, you know, the workers, men and the women, they are working together. I observe them for about half an hour, 1 hour. I see the production is not right. So I said, alright, women go on one side, about 50 meters away, you're going to work that side. And men work on this side here. Two, I separated the both. All the men on that side, women on this side. I saw I got about 200% better production. Now the focus is not now, kunjani, lungil, and all that. That wasn't the focus now. Now the focus was work. That time, this one is trying to impress on that woman is trying to impress on him, and the whole time is getting into that, you see. This is why I say it's false pretexts. And now, it seems right because they brought it. Christians and Jews, they're controlling this, they brought it, and they have to justify what they're doing. So now, you're going to segregate them, and this person will not have self-esteem. He will not be able to have that morale. So, he must be able to speak, you know. So you will mix them up now, that fear that he has, that will break off and he'll be able to speak. So it is not that, that's not the intention. The intention is that divine gift of shame and modesty that the man has, bust that, what? Break the divine gift of modesty. Because you see a child coming up, there'll be a distinct difference between a boy's behavior and a girl's behavior. A girl wants to be a little bit secluded, shame, bashful, right? the boy wants to be adventurous, coming out, he wants to do that, right? Now that is divine, it's a divine gift. When it's a divine gift, it needs to be respected. We can't just destroy the thing. Now, if at the beginning, at the time that he's learning, we started it off in this way, we destroyed the modesty in him, right? So for the rest of the life, then that modesty is destroyed, then who's responsible? You see, when you start off a wrong, right? Remember, the ones that are the pioneers, they also get their proportionate amount of the guna. You are the pioneer. The father, you sent him there, right? So don't you think that at the age of 15 he's responsible? No. You're also responsible. You pushed him into that type of environment. He learned that type of values. When he learned that type of values, who taught him? You taught him. So his advice and all the wrong that he's perpetrating, proportionately you're getting your share also. You didn't go in the grave. But for the wrong that you had started him off also, you are equally responsible. وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ وَلَيُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. You will bear your own load of sins, and this load of sins of those people that you misled. So you got a double load. See, you got a double load. How careful a person must be. You can't get away in the presence of Allah and say, well, parents wanted it that way, so therefore we're doing it. You can't get away. So, I explain, some people come, they come with truth in their minds, with true hearts, you know, with general honesty, that you want to answer them accordingly. But some people have come, either they want to ridicule, right? One person comes to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He's known for his notoriety. He's a notorious person. People know him. Before Imam Sahib could come, he said, no, I'll put this man in his place. Because the way he'll question the person, he'll ridicule and everybody will laugh. Now it's a man of ranking, right? You will respect him. You will not ridicule him. But he's such a good actor that anybody comes in and he'll smash him down. Ridicule him, make a mockery of him. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah is there, came for some work. So then he started firing questions. He asked Imam Hanifa rahmatullah, which is the most central spot of the earth? He says, the spot where you're standing. Now, he didn't expect this type of an answer. So what's your proof? He said, measure it. Now, can he do it? So he's asked this type of questions and he's landed himself in problems. Now, when a person lands himself in problem, he wants to take himself out of it, right? He doesn't realize sometimes he's going to get himself deeper. Rather, just cut that conversation and move on. He knows that he's caused problem for himself. Now, people begin to laugh at him. Instead of them laughing at Abu Hanifa, they start laughing at him. So he asked Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, what is the number of the stars in the heavens, in the skies? It says, the number of shells that are found on the shore. What's your proof? Well, count it. See, this class of people, they want to test. They want to see your level now, what level you've got. And now, that person knows that he's making a fool of himself. Why must he can't continue? But he won't. See that pride. Arrogance, that comes and blocks everything. See, most people that go off, it is a discreet pride of this, that arrogance of this that comes in between and it throws you off. But you made a mistake, now let's accept it, come out in the open, come hands up to Allah Ta'ala and just acknowledge. Allah will put you right, Allah will bless you. But you don't want to acknowledge that pride is intervening, it's blocking you. Now the roads are getting all jammed up, you can't move. It would seem like you're progressing, but no, you're not progressing, you're retrogressing. Right. Now this person that was put up here, he was, you know, double sex, both sides, you know. Male and female, whatever we say, right? So now the colloquial word for this thing here looks very, very ugly, right? Very ugly. The colloquial, all of us are acquainted, right? So now he asked Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, are there more males on earth or more females? So by now Abu Hanifa rahmatullah has already sized the person. When he sized the person already, so he said, alright, we'll answer that later on, but first tell me what you are. Now he had to run for his life. Class, gone, you see. So now, you get this type of people, when you get this type of people, right, then you need to understand how to work with these people here. Because the intention is not to research, not to investigate, not to find out. Sometimes it's just to engage you. Just to cause a discussion. So you don't want to get anything, you know he doesn't want anything, right? See, life must be taken as a business. If someone comes to your shop, and he just wants to investigate, alright, how you sell this, what's your rental, what's your light bill. But if you want to buy something, buy it. Otherwise, I don't have time for this. Won't you tell this much? Because it's your business hours. Business hours, he's not supposed to come and do all these type of things. So his whole life is a business. When life is a business, then every moment, every second has to be treated as a business. He's wasting time and nicely, respectfully. Sorry, I'm a little busy now. You can carry on, right? So you don't want to waste your business time. Now you get this third class, I'm showing you, this third class, the idea is just to sometimes ridicule. Sometimes the whole idea is to get the answer of their choice. يَقُولُونَ إِنْ أُوْتِيْتُمْ هَذَا فَخُذُوهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تُؤْتَوْهُ فَحْذَرُ. Again, you're getting the same Jews, they speculating, you know, the English word is speculating. They already worked it out within themselves, that now a man and a woman has committed zina in our ranks, right? Our books has got it that those Jews are discussing, our books have got it that both these people must be stoned to death. The Torah is saying this, right? It's their book. Oh, this law is a little bit too hard, you know. So what we'll do is we'll go to this Nabi, because we know that he's a Nabi, right? So they confirm that he's a Nabi. They got no doubt about Nabi being the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, right? So they've confirmed it that he's a Nabi, right? So we'll go and ask him, and we heard that there's a lot of relaxation in his Shariat. Why are we sending him? Because we have heard that Nabi Sallam's deen has got a lot of relaxation, not as hard as our religion. So if it is relaxed, we will accept it. In utitum hadha fakhudhu. Relaxed laws, then accept it. Wa illam tu'tahu fahdharu. But if it is hard, then just abstain. So it's like a test, you know, like a speculating. We'll find out now, what's the price here, what's the price there. So they took the whole deen like a shopping experience to go and shop. So this is the third group. They don't want to search the truth. And they're discussing within themselves that if we are before Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has to ask us, why did we take this, you know. So we would say to Allah Ta'ala, Nabiyum min Anbiya'i. It's one of the series of Nabis. We refer it to him, and this is the ruling we've got. So, in the world we cleared up, by Allah Ta'ala we cleared up, Nabiyum min Anbiya'i. But now you see they're playing games, speculation. That is why we are warned, you see, there's so much of literature now available everywhere, Google, this one here, that site, so much of literature. You can't distinguish, you can't make out what is right, what is wrong. Any small thing, any big thing, oh, let me go and check it up. Let me go and Google it, let me go and check it up, right? So, Nabi sounds a warning. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ. See, this D is not a pastime. It's not about appeasing your conscience. It is, it's your deen, it's your akhirat. So, it's such a serious thing. It decides your future. Your whole future is decided on deen. You know. So it is a thing that's going to be deciding your whole future. Then you need to be thorough about this. Then you can't just go and gamble. Can't go and speculate like this. فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ Go and see who you taking your deen from. Not just here and there, one pamphlet this side here, a book there. Start looking at the see yourself. So now I can do it. Learn a little bit of Arabic here, a little bit of the Arabic that side now. I got some Arabic now. I can study the Quran Sharif. فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ Go and find out. Find out. Imagine the Sahaba Kiram. They were Arabic speaking, experts in the language. One of the Sahabi knows 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 poetry. So you can imagine how well versed they were in the language. So well versed. But them too, they found the need to go and find from reason, Ya Rasulullah, how does this verse apply? And how does this verse apply? The verse of the Quran Sharif comes. وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ So that was the first revelation. In your roza, you go on eating and drinking until the white thread becomes distinct from the black thread. That word مِنَ الْفَجْرِ hasn't been revealed yet. So the verse of the Quran Sharif is revealed. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ Until the white thread becomes distinct from the black thread. Now, some Sahaba Kiram took this thing literally, and they got now two threads, and they're checking now, is the white distinct or not? Can I see the colors or not? Or is this, the darkness is still prevailing? Then this was brought to the attention of Nabi Sassan. See, the Sahaba Kiram, if they did anything, then they showed it to me, this is how we did it. They went and double checked it. This is how we understood it and this is how we applied it. Then the verse came, يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ This white thread and black thread refers to the dawn, and the break of the morning. You know, the morning this breaks. First break of the morning. Not sunrise. Before sunrise, and the break of the morning, when the night is separating from the day, at first interval, but at first moment, when there's a crack, and the night is separating from the day, there is approximately about 1.5 hour before the sunrise. So you must eat and drink until that time. This is distinct from that. Now they understood, alright, this is the meaning of the Quran Sharif. So now, even though they were Arabic speaking, they know the language, master the language, they also found the need to go and refer to the wisdom, Ya Rasulullah, how does this apply? They didn't took it upon themselves. They didn't take it upon themselves. Well, we are Arabic speaking. We know the language. When we know the language, master the language, we can compose poetry. So what's the need for us to go and refer? Go and find out. So you see, I showed you the different categories of people. One who genuinely want to know. Like Abdullah bin Salam, right? And you get one class of people, they trust Nabi Sallam. The whole heart is there. And Nabi Sallam, if you just say it, there, it's done. See, that's why the Quran speaks about this group of people. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Right? So there is a group of Muslims now. Imagine. They accepted Islam before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, right? Early days of Islam, and they accepted Islam. Nabi Sallam is just extending the dawat, and they accepted it straight away. So then there is a second group of Muslims, they saw the conquest of Makkah, they saw the strides, and the progress Islam is making. Now that convinced them, this is the true faith. So they accepted Islam then. But the first group, they accepted Islam just on the word of Nabi Sallam. Nabi Sallam had to say it, and they accepted it. So Allah Pak says, both of them aren't the same. Why aren't they same? Why aren't both of them the same? Because this first group, right, as though they took a chance, in our language we say they took a chance. Because they don't know of any future security about this plan. Nabi Sallam is starting or something, it's a movement, new thing has come up. Do they have any type of security in their minds? This is going to work out. This is going to last. No security, nothing. No guarantee is given to them. They said, no, we trust the man. and we're giving our life, we're giving our wealth, we're giving everything. Abu Bakr now. Trust the man, just on, based on trust. Man has said it, now I'm giving everything. Now this is a man, he's got no guarantees, no securities, no future plan, absolutely nothing. And he's just taken from this straight. Now imagine what a great sacrifice this is, right? Then it is the second group of people who saw the conquest of Makkah, Mukarramah, the strides that the Muslim Ummah was making, progress, the lands that they were capturing. Now they came on, right? So both of them can't be the same. Here the second group, they seeing all right, this thing is working out, they're making progress, they're capturing lands, things are working out, you know, the whole world is beginning to recognize them, Hercules is beginning to recognize them, Yemen is recognizing them, this one is recognizing them, Egypt is recognizing them. So now after they have seen all this, now they're accepting Islam. Alright, your Islam is also acceptable, but you can't be like the first group. See the first group, what sacrifice they made, and what you have done, right? We're not ridiculing you, we're not condemning you, because the Quran says, وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. To both groups, we have promised husna, jannat, both. This one is also jannat. So whether the sahabi came at the beginning, the sahabi came at the end, right, both are being blessed with jannat. But definitely, according to what you had gone, the struggle that you had gone through, we will reward you accordingly. The one that came after, we will reward him accordingly, right? But in my understanding, this principle is general. This principle is general. Any new movement starts off, right? It starts off with a few people, no supporters, right? One person is supporting this side, one, because someone wants to contribute also, say, hey, I need to know this is going to work out or not going to work out. That's how they work. Is he drawing numbers? Is he genuine? I need to see now, let me just give him 100 rand, 200 rand, let me send him away. But let me see if he's a genuine person. Now after 5 years, hey, no, it's genuine. No, I take 100,000. Take 1 million rand. Now after they have confirmed, they have seen with their own eyes what results they're seeing is producing. Now they want to give. But those that gave at the beginning, said, alright, I don't know you. You know, I always remember this incident. And Allah will elevate the person, right? At that time, Madrasa just started. We acquired the land. We were teaching in the garage, right? So I'm teaching my kitabs and all that. Just then one man came, suit, boot and tie and all that came. You know that Ahmadi ideals, what do you call it? Ahmadi Dokrat. Was his father, right? Late, another first grave. So he came, now I don't know this man here for a bar of soap. At that time now you got the Josh of teaching, you know, who comes and goes. He can do his own thing, I must do my class. Now at that time he's still scratching, finding our feet still. Man came in, and I really marvel, man, he came in that state, but sometimes you can't underestimate a person. You don't know what's the strength of his iman. Really. I got shocked. You know, I came, he sat with utmost respect, he didn't even try to attract my attention. Although I stretched my class deliberately for him for that day. 1 hour I stretched the class. And this is the beginning now, about 86, somewhere, 86, whatever. So at the end now, he pulled out 10,000 and he gave it to me, put in the madrasa. And you need anything, begging and all, just take it from me. Now he knows we're starting off, and he came himself, he sat down there, and he pulled that out, and he gave it to me. From that day now, I got it stuck in my mind that this is that nobility of this man here. Whatever he's been doing afterward, I don't know, Allah knows. But the respect that he showed, I can't forget the respect that he showed. Although at that level, there was no future guarantee for the madrasa. Nothing, you know, we know it's going to work out, we're not going to work out, and it's going to work out, how many years it's going to work out, or what is the type of people is going to come in. We don't know anything. But now, this act of his, you know, the nobility, the respect, the kindness that he showed, irrespective of his clothing, but that, I can't forget that. How you expect me to forget it? As Muhammad Tanvi Sahib says, I'm just showing respect, you know, people of the past, and the type of respect they showed. See, deen is, in my understanding, Allah make me right, right? The one that shows respect to deen, anything small or big, anything to do with deen, an alim, a madrasa, masjid, Azan, the Muazzin, any person that shows real, genuine love and respect, the love takes him from strength to strength. Just takes him. But the genuine, pure respect just for Deen. After maybe I got a difference with you, it's, that it's in its place. But the respect of Deen, there I don't compromise. The more Tamil Sabra says that in the early stage of my life, my father wanted me to go and teach. So I was teaching in Kanpur, 14, 15 years. So the kitabs that I've already learned, he wanted me to have a good holding of the kitabs. So now I've been teaching there in Kanpur for 15 some odd years. Now, in the madrasa that I was teaching, in the toilets, right, someone was writing something very notorious, you know, abusive things. He was writing on the toilet walls and all that. It happens all madrasas, it happens. Right? Every toilet, every public place, these things happen, right? Now, it's difficult sometimes to catch the culprits. So the madrasa authorities, they saw this thing is happening, we need to put an end to this. So what they did, they whitewashed all the walls of the toilets. And now they got a security to stand there, and each person goes and comes out, so they must just check. Now this is more time than time, 100 years ago. So if you think this thing is recent, it's from that time. Children and their mischief, and then it'll happen, right? If you don't have the tolerance and endurance, please don't come and teach us about the Risa. Don't take that job. For this type of job, you need to have understanding, endurance, overlook, forget. That person may be looking like a rotter now today. But tomorrow he'll do such an excellent work. He'll be coming on Radio Islam and all, he'll be coming. But if you look at his beginning, you never expect him to escalate like that. But it's Allah that just pushes that person. Just pushes him. How it happens, Allah knows. So now they got someone to check up who's going to the toilet and who's coming out. They found at this toilet number 3, this child went in, everything was clear, and as he came out, he saw all the markings on the wall. So they gave it out. It was now directed to one ustad. That ustad gave it to him, red and blue, until the child became unconscious. Hey, now they're scared, now conscious, now must have died. Gabriya to hota hai. What happened? So anyway, he got fixed up and all that. So his uncle that was near there, they called his uncle. In the meanwhile, the townspeople are instigating. What are they doing? They're instigating. Look at this group also, instigate, chalawan. So now I warn the ustad, don't be like that now. Don't instigate. Oh no, they'll go and instigate. So now this case here must be taken to the police. Because if this child lost his life, then can you reverse the thing? So now you get these people instigating, spurring up trouble. That man came in, quite a modern person, you know, for that zamana, quite a modern person. He says, no. What the ustad did, I don't support what he did. But now he's a man that's representing Deen in one corner of the earth, right? And I can't subject him to this type of humiliation. He'll be humiliated. Now the press will talk about him. The whole world will talk about him. What he did, we don't support that. But now to subject him to this type of disgrace and humiliation, no, I won't do that. But now, as the uncle of this child here, I am answerable to my elder brother, his father, his child's father. So I have to do something now. My father, my brother will say, my child caught it like this, and you didn't do anything for my child. So now how do I balance this? So I thought to myself for a moment, you know, the most understanding person, everybody are good here, all are ulama, they're good people, but the most understanding person is this young person, Muhammad Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now he's new still. This man is most understanding. Let me present the case to him. Muhammad knew that this is happening. So Muhammad told that ustad that whacked the child, but you go and disappear, you're not around. Because he doesn't know what's in his mind. He feels it's going to become a criminal case, and this person will be languishing in prison. So the easiest thing was, this man disappeared, gone. Right. So he asked the ustad to disappear, go. So he went away. And meanwhile, this man complained, says, see, but I didn't come to support my child, my nephew, and not to take it, not to make it a legal issue. I came here for advice, right? The advice that I need is, you see, whatever it is that this child came for deen, right? When he came for deen, then the mindset must also be good. He must have a good mindset. As he leaves, the impression of deen, the people of deen must be good. If he's going to have a wrong impression about deen and the people of deen, then that will be stuck in his memory for the rest of his life. He will have an aversion for deen and the people of deen. So I can't allow that nephew of mine to have an aversion for deen for the rest of his life. So Mu'adh asked him, alright, then what do you want? So now that Ustad has gone, disappeared, I would humbly request call him back. But ask the Ustad to take this child again. I'll keep him for a month, 2 months. But he may just show some love, some respect, some consideration to this child. So that when this child leaves after the 3 months, right, the impression that he will have of deen, the people of deen, will be a very beautiful impression. Why that Ustad made a mistake? But see the love, see the compassion, see the respect that he showed me. So this will be the last impression in his mind as he left the madrasa. And that should remain. So Mu'adh says, hey, you know, that man came in, modern person, but look at the man's profound understanding, the love, the respect that he shown for deen. He says, up till now, so many years have passed, there isn't a day that I don't think about him in dua. See the respect that you show for deen. This thing may seem to be small in some people's sight, right? But I take it very seriously. You show the respect, the regard, no matter what happened. I don't justify the wrong of this ustad who had beaten the child to that. I don't say that it's the right thing. Wrong is wrong. Injustice is injustice. But I'm looking at this whole story from a different dimension. From the dimension of the respect the man had for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. What's going to happen to the future of this child? So I can't allow this to continue. Mu'adh says that for that simple act of his, says so many years have passed, but this isn't a day that I don't think about this person. The respect that he showed, the love that he showed, the strategy that he showed, that all is a reflection of the goodness of his heart. So this deen is not a thing to be playing around, not a thing that is insignificant, right? Not a thing that is to be taken lightly and casually, right? With the abundance of information, radio and all these things here, that is coming all the time, that is one of the contributing reasons for us taking deen so casually. I say, by if you need to listen, or you need to listen, read a pamphlet or something, first verify, is it the right thing or not, right? Number one. Number two, if it's a program, find out there also, is that the presenter right? Then just listen a little bit, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe in 2-3 days, listen to that. Now the 20 minutes, and the presenter is right, you listen to it with respect. You listen to it with concentration. You listen to it and you want to learn it and practice it. But now you're sitting in your car, straight away put that thing on. One Nazam is coming, some news is coming, this is what's happening in Syria. Old mind is like a kachumar. Old mind, taking something, leaving something, you don't know what you took, what you left. Rather you listen to something small, understand it, digest it, right? And apply the thing, then taking such a big chunk of information and not reducing it into, not translating it into action, right? So anyway, we're getting at this story, you see. So this Jews had educated the Meccans that when you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you go back, you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you ask him 3 questions. If he cannot answer 3, then understand him to be an imposter. And if he answers 3, then understand him to be an imposter. But if he answers 2 and he can't answer the 3rd one, then understand him that he's a genuine person. He can answer 2 and he can't answer the third one, then understand him to be a genuine person, a person of Allah Ta'ala. Are they happy? They come up to Makkah Mukarramah, and these 3 questions are presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained the first, that was the story of the people of the cave. Second was Dhul Qarnayn. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gave the detailed answers, right? Verse of the Quran was revealed. And the 3rd question that they had asked was about Ruh, the human soul, right? So Nabi Sam didn't answer that one. Ma utitum min al-ilmi illa qalila. You have got just a minuscule of knowledge. You're bragging and boasting in comparison to the treasure of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. Wallah, you're not even all man from now till the day of Qiyamah and beyond. The knowledge comparison to Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is not even a drop in an ocean. So, any comparison, no comparison. Imagine a person has got 1 cent in his pocket, right? And he's boasting, say, I got money. In front of a person, he's not a trillionaire, he's a gazillionaire. A trillion, trillion, gazillion. Say, what a 1 cent, I got money. So, any comparison, no comparison. Now, with Allah Ta'ala, there is no comparison at all. Because what you got also is His. Nothing of your own. What you got also is not your own, it is of His. Right? So you can't boast about it. Now, they confirm that He is a Nabi. But جَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. But that pride and that ego intervenes, comes in between. Right? So this is talking of Surah Kahf, right? This Surah has got a lot of lessons. Lots of lessons. Sometimes, like I think I discussed, the companions of the cave and the lessons that we learn, we draw from there. The second story that the Quran speaks about in the same Surah, Surah Kahf, is this two friends now, and one is boasting with the other, right? See, the first level with wealth is to earn, to multiply, to pile up. That's the first level. And after you have multiplied and piled up wealth, what is the second level? You got the wealth now. Then what? And the second thing that wealth wants is comfort. I got it now. So before I was living in a hut now. Now I need to express the wealth. I need to have comforts, right? Before I was eating mug and masoor. Now I need to just upgrade. I got so much now, I must upgrade. Right? So the first thing that wealth wants is comfort. That's what wealth wants. We get a very small percentage, so we live the same life, and we will spend wealth in right avenues. Pure, clean, good, deeny avenues for the continuity of deen. Very small percentage. They can spend on everything else they can spend. But then when I hear about lifestyle, I get a shock, you know. But they'll give what, 10,000 rand, 5,000 rand for a dini course. You know, we give so much, you know. Every year we give so much. But the same person that you hear about a holiday, they can throw away 200,000 rand, it's alright. I don't think about it. You know? So you see the relationship with deen. That's the relationship with deen. So for a holiday, 100,000, nothing. Went there. But on deen, 5,000, 10,000 for 20 years, you know, they'll brag about it. Amen. Someone came here, this, he took 10,000 and he went now. Now what else? So we'll keep bragging about that. So at this point, we need to understand, we must get priorities right. In wealth, etc., it's first your own self, then your immediate people. You're living in luxury. How's your child living? How's he living? Or how's she living? Do you try and make it more comfortable for them as well? Or you thought about yourself? So people will think on two levels. What? The first level is, how do I appear amongst people? What? How do I appear amongst people? Wall right, the paint right, brick right, tile right. So how do I appear amongst people? That's the first level. He's not concerned about his own blood now. But is that right? Is this right? So long as the appearance is right, it's I'm right. But is my child right? Are they comfortable? Are they at ease? Should I not do something for them? That becomes a secondary thing. And then I quote Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Rahmatullah, Hazrat Ji said this, Farah said this. But now look at what the Quran Sharif's tarteeb is. مَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ والأقربين واليتامى. First the parents, then the people that are immediate, right? Bring them at least at your level. What level your child was, bring him at that level at least. Can't we do that much? Not even that level. No, they must suffer, they must... One person is talking, says, no, you see, this property, I bought this for 1 million, and I've been offered 100 million for the same property, right? I bought it for 1 million, and I'm offered 100 million, I didn't sell it, right? So that person knew the person, and says, but your daughter, your sister, she's a little bit in a difficult way, she's making samosas and all that, what about her? No, they're running, you know, she's running, making samosas, her kitchen is running. Not concerned, he's got so much, that property is 100 million. This thing has to wake up at about 2 at the morning to start off the whole business, right, to run the house. No consideration, no respect for this one. No, I'm worth this much. You know, sometimes I think to myself, that this selfie thing started off, really it made us selfish. This thing started off, it makes us selfish and self-centered. Not worried, cold, just myself, how I look, what people have to talk to me, what do they have to see about me, how I look in the public eye. So that's the main concern. My dear ones, those that are close to me, what am I doing for them? Am I there for them or not? And then I want, they must give me attention, they must give me respect, they must show me some recognition. That I want definitely. But what have I done for them? Do we think about it? So anyway, the story goes, the second story in the Quran Sharif, in the Surah Kahf. So they are entering, Allah gave him a lot, this man has got up. آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شِيَا. He's got gardens and orchards he's got. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٍ. He's got other properties that are turning, you know. Apart from the farms. Now, that time, we didn't have factories. You know, sort of 3,000-4,000 years ago, we didn't have factories, so we had farms. So, he's got livestock, he's got farms, right? And apart from that, he's got properties from which he's turning income, you know. As you say, an anchor tenant, signed and sealed. I've got this tenant, signed and sealed for 25 years, with an escalation of 7% every year. So the rental is so good, escalation rate is so good, an anchor tenant, I've sealed already, I've got all my guarantees. How do you feel about it? So he's got all these things. As he's got all this now, he says to his friend, boastingly, proud, he says, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَزْدُ نَفَرًا. See, I said, the first thing that wealth wants is comfort, right? After comfort, and the second thing what it wants recognition. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَزْدُ نَفَرًا. You know me, I got so much of wealth. And I got so much of recognition, so much of influence. أَزْدُ نَفَرًا. Just translating it for our convenience, right? I got more respect. See, my following. See, I'm recognized. What are you? See me. I got the wealth. I got the influence. I can turn things around. I can manipulate. I can make things happen. So this language is spoken. And we don't understand it. You know, I think not a day passes and someone will come to the office and say, well, you know, this person is so wealthy. He's so, so wealthy. So that man himself is impressed about him. Now he's impressing me about that person's wealth. Now what a wrong way to take, you know. Islam doesn't show respect to this thing here. Doesn't at all show respect. And now that's the first time, this man is so wealthy. Then what must I do about it if he's wealthy? How does he relate to me now? He got wealthy now, he's got wealth, alright. One of those things. But now how does it connect to me? Why do you have to go come and pass this information to me that this man is so wealthy? But to him, that his luck, if he's wealthy, he's not wealthy, his luck. Right. So you see the second level, I'm going to advertise it. Boast, pride. All these things Allah doesn't like. He doesn't like this thing. Our old was different. Our old people led a simple life. But they're very concerned about family, extended, immediate neighbor. Let them live. Live and let them enjoy as well. Now it's just a self-centered thing. That person is working, whoever it is, but I need to break his bone, get the last spit out of him, get his blood out of him. And my house, my family, my thing must prosper. No matter what happens to him, happens to him. But I need to get the last inch of blood out of him. So he's boasting, he says, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزْمُ نَفَرًا. And then he goes one step ahead. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Gets into his business, and he says what? He's wrong as it is, he's boasting. مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِي أَبَدًا. See, I can't think, I can't see this thing ever collapsing. My business can't collapse. Hey, this thing is just going to run. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. And you know, you're warning me about Qiyamah, life after death, and all. That's it's just an imagination. It's a guesswork. It is just to put you onto the course, you know. If you're going too far out, just to bring you right, so they'll talk about Qiyamah and Jannah and all that. So don't worry about it at all. See that wealth, wait, how it bloats your mind. How it deceives you. How it confuses you, how it complicates you. مَأَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِي أَبَدًا. I can't imagine that this business of mine can ever collapse. We look at it all the time, but man was so wealthy, he had that type of tenants, right? But the business just went insolvent, just went bust. Don't be about it. Such a big thing, prospering like this, going so much, escalating like a rocket, it's going straight. Not even like a graph, you know, going like this. It's going straight up like this, rocketing. And don't be, it just crashed. How it crashed, Allah Pak knows. So you see where it leads you, that boast, the pride. مَأَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. And then again he says, in the pride and that boastful attitude, he says, وَلَئِنْ رُجِئَتْ. If there is a thing like Qiyamah, you know, first of all, I don't believe. There's no such thing like Qiyamah and all that. It's all fairy tales. But if there were a thing like Qiyamah, then I'll get, if I am blessed here, Allah Pak has blessed me here, then how much more will I be blessed there? When I got so much here, then how much more will I get there? See how he's thinking. Just look at his thought. So his friend now, he advised him, see. This is Mulana that is advising him. So, a genuine Mulana, a person that is a genuine Alim, he'll always discourage you from dunya. He will not encourage you. Keep doing your shop and don't worry about namaz. He'll know, he won't give it. Right, do your business, but don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Enjoy, but don't forget the rights of people. Enjoy, but don't hurt anybody. They'll keep telling you about this. They won't stop you from enjoying, but they will keep reminding you, by don't enjoy, don't hurt. Don't be cruel. Don't be impolite. Be considerate. Respect. They'll keep advising you. So he says to him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. You don't recognize the one who's created you from a dust, then to a drop. See, look at your humble beginnings. What were you? You were dust. And you know there's a law in philosophy. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ. Everything will get back to its origin. You know, everything goes around and goes back to its origin. Where it came from, you know, what it was, it goes back. So, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ. You made from dust. You're going to go back to dust. Don't you consider this? Now this transitory life, short interim, that Allah Pak allowed you to prosper, brains, intelligence, power, might, control, beauty, Allah Pak gave it to you. Just now it's going to reach up to its height. Then it's going to collapse slowly, wither away. Don't you see that? Look. It's the wrong thing to tell me, to ask you, right? But if someone got a photo album when you were 16 years of age, would you enjoy your beard though? You were so smart, you were looking, right? At that time, and now? Now you, about the same person, or is a different person. So you see how How this whole thing reverses. You were so smart, so nice, attractive, powerful, mighty, glory. You could run athletics, soccer, you could jump and do everything. But the whole thing peaks and then there's a drop. Doesn't it happen? Don't you see that? So you're going to return back to your origin. If that was your, the dust was your origin, then you're going to return back to this. As long as you got that in mind, but you're going to turn back, you're going to go back, then you're not lost. But if you are in this dream world, you know, I'm just going to escalate and no qiyamah, then it's just good for me all the time. My health is so good. See, I'm gymming, I'm doing so much of exercise. I can walk, I can run, I can still participate in the marathon. Although I'm 75 years of age, I can still run. By how strong you are, but you have to collapse. أَغَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ. Don't you recognize the one? So, all man's technology, his science, all the scientists of the world, right, with all their dadas and the grandfathers, right, can they create just one human seed, all of them put together? Human, small, insignificant thing, like a human seed, all of them put together, can they do it? Let's understand, there is a power beyond all you. Beyond all of this, there is a power. Understanding. So this, what you got, the beauty you got, the attraction that you got, it is not your own, it is just borrowed. It is not your own. You couldn't do it. It came, it was given to you. It was on its loan. So when it's on loan, it will go back to the one that lent it to you. Just imagine, just remember this. It's not yours. See, this boastful and attitude that you are showing is because you feel that it's yours. You did it, you made it happen. So understand that this was your beginning and this is going to be your end. You can't become boastful. خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Now, in a gesture of friendliness, he says, you see, let me show you a plan of continuity. See, when we got an investment, we got a business, and we got some properties and all that, then what's the second concern? It must continue. It must continue. That's the concern, right? So must I show you a plan of continuity? Lawla is dakhalta jannataka qulta ma sha Allah la quwwata illa billah. You want a continuity plan. Then this is how you enter into your property. When you see your property, this is what you're supposed to be saying. Your business, flourishing, everything. What you're supposed to be saying? Ma sha Allah. Allah, not at all of my doing. It is not at all, Allah Ta'ala, it is just your doing. You made this happen. It's just your grace. It's not my piety, not me, not my acumen, not my brain, not my sweat, not my hard work. Allah Ta'ala, it's purely, it's just your grace. So that's the mindset for the continuity plan. You want it to prosper, to continue. Then this is how you're supposed to be entering. Allah Ta'ala, it's not mine. I'm making clear, Allah Ta'ala, it's not mine at all. It is all yours, mashallah. So the person is going to enter into his business, or his home, or anything that he sees around him, his children all prospering, all coming up well. And he says, mashallah, it's a security plan. That thing won't collapse then. Mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. It can't be any loss or gain without the will of Allah Ta'ala. If a loss comes, it is the will of Allah Ta'ala. If it's a gain, then it's by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.